give you a bit of background on our discussion with Patricia, Alderman Patricia van der Ross on July 25th. Have a listen to what she had to say regarding how the final decision, specifically on the Plumstead Library, has not been made, albeit important for us to have broader discussion on this.
The initial decision for the non-renewal of the lease was made in council of last year, December 2021, to align the city's decision to delimit external leases as a result of the impact of COVID-19 on the economy. Now, the sustainability of the city requires review on the council. We are not saying at this stage that we will follow through with that decision because, you know, when I came in at that time, everything was new. This was investigations that was done. But out of this list, there was about four or five libraries, and out of the list, only two of the five libraries was put forward to council. Now we've got more further investigation. I've asked officials to do further investigation. And then in deciding to close the facility, we need to make sure that the patrons that use the library is also on a footing that they do actually have access to a library. So at this point, there's no final decision that we're going to follow through.
It's 8:10. Jodie Alamaya, thank you so much for joining us in studio this morning. And you are an expert in this particular space in terms of living and working spaces in city development. I think the city is, from what we hear, Patricia seems to be genuine in her intention, but the city has been maybe, I don't know if they've been completely forthcoming about their methods or the emphasis on community spaces. We know that sewage and water are definitely ongoing concerns for the city, but it seems as though soft services like a library, mm-hmm. which is actually quite critical, is not getting the appropriate attention. What's your take?
Yeah, morning, and thanks for having me. So I think there's two parts of this discussion for me. The one is, as you say, these other competing interests, and there's a big transition happening at the moment in terms of the role of local government and the mix of services that local government offers. There's discussion around devolution of functions like rail, introducing a different way of providing for our energy services, and there's a whole sort of policy discussion that needs to happen about what is the role of local government? What is this mix of services? What is the role of private and civic delivery in this mix? And how do we fund this whole mix? The traditional sort of rate bill of your rates, your consumption services, what is that going to look like in 5 or 10 years' time to provide for this mix of services? And at the same time, we've got pressure on this kind of balloon payment that we're having to make for the backlog of sewage infrastructure and things like that. That's not unique to South Africa. This sort of growing role of local government as we urbanize happens all over the world. What is fairly unique is the level of inequality and cross-subsidization that has to happen, and that's putting pressure on some of these social services and soft spaces. So we've got now this debate around, well, do we get rid of what's traditionally referred to as unfunded mandates?
But to call them unfunded is to reduce them to something less than what they are, yep. isn't it? So an unfunded mandate is, for those who aren't in Jody speak and Jordan speak, an unfunded mandate would normally be referred to as something like that's not water. So water should wash its own face, if you'll excuse the pun, and so from the tariffs that it's able to earn. And it's unlikely that a library or a community park or a playground would necessarily earn enough, even if you ticketed it, which you'd prefer not to cover its own cost. Is that basically what you mean by unfunded mandates?
So it's partly that. It can't generate sufficient revenue to pay for itself. And it's partly a legislated thing where in our law, mandates for libraries sit between a provincial government and local government. So provincial government technically has the mandate for libraries, and then it transfers some of that mandate to local government with a very small grant of, I think, 20, there's a capital grant of 15 and 5 million for operations. And then the city has traditionally carried the rest of the operations of that. The operational budget for libraries in the city of Cape Town has grown at an inflationary rate for the last 10 years. So I went back and looked at the budget for 2011. It's grown inflationary since then to now. So, and the service level is more or less the same. We've closed a couple of libraries. We had 107 at one point. We're on, I think, 102 now. And that's servicing, I think, 47,000 on average per library. And we'd ideally like to be at about 40,000 per library. So
this, servicing
the service, so one library per 47,000
people.
Yeah, if you use our population. So our service level and the budget has more or less stayed the same
for the
last 10 years. But we are seeing a pressure on this because of this mix of other services and priorities elsewhere. So I think, as I was saying, the one part is, what is this future vision of role of local government and how are we going to fund it? And then the other part is, what is the role of local libraries in our communities? And if we start to close, I mean, you had Ian Cameron on earlier this morning and I was listening to him, and many communities need these spaces as safe spaces for people to go to. Not all of us can afford to go to a coffee shop and pay 30 rand for a coffee to sort of legitimately be there as a place to work, as a place to, you know, very tediously upload our CV to many different websites to look for a job, as a place to retreat from a domestic violence situation that's happening at home. And, you know, I listened to Patricia when she was on and I was very reassured by what she said, but there were other recommendations in that report to council, like limiting the hours of operation, having some libraries be reduced to only 3 days a week of operation, things like that. And those have very serious implications for communities where people, the elderly, use it as a place to find a refuge from isolation, where children use it as a place to do their homework, to have a place of reading circles, to have a place of, like I said, retreat from a place of domestic violence and things like that. So we have to, when we are looking at these services, not only look at it from a place of, this is an unfunded mandate and we have to find a way to reduce this cost, but actually look at it from a thing of, this has value. How do we understand the value of this, and how do we as a society maximize the value and find a way of covering this value and maybe bring other partners in?
For sure.
Or rationalize the use by combining it with another function that can cover the cost.
Yeah.
And I think the way in which you pose that problem will lead you to a different set of solutions or outcomes.
Well, let's pose the problem to the perfect person for it. Executive Mayor Jordan Hilders, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. So to add to what Jody's happened to say, I just wanted to share, because we didn't get to do it on air on the day that he sent it, but David and Kenilworth said, you know, Rafida, when you interviewed the Mako member about Plumstead Library on Monday, she had a lot to say about school children and students and not a word about older persons. To Jody's point, the library's a lifeline to the elderly living in the area who cannot afford books and do not have private transport. It's also the venue used by a local Scrabble club and a knitting club. If the library closed, it would be sorely missed by both young and old alike. And I thought that added much more texture to, you know, the actual precise things that they use them for. In your vision of the city, I think to everybody's point, we know that there are immediate priorities of survival, but there's this building of a society that needs these softer services, unfunded mandates, and how do you see them?
Oh, well, good morning to both of you. Thank you very much for having me. Firstly, let me say, I am such a massive fan of Cape Town's library services. They are a wonderful service. Our family is a frequent user of it. Anyone who uses that service knows that most of our libraries are an absolute joy to visit, and they do provide, I think, an essential service. So there's no intention, you speak of my vision for the city, there's no intention to see libraries thrown by the wayside. However, it is also important that we say, that we make it clear that we can't be in principle opposed to the closure of any government facility ever. Mm-hmm. There is sometimes a case for what we euphemistically call rationalization, but there is sometimes a really good case for that. And we've seen the case for that recently with some of our smaller clinics, where they were servicing 9 patients a day. That was the average that they were. It was a maternity, a mother's clinic, I think it was, and it made total sense to amalgamate that with a clinic just down the road. And similarly, sometimes in some parts of the city, if we really want to extend those excellent world-class library services to more residents. I just came in as Jody was talking about that ratio. If you want to extend those excellent services to more residents, there might be a case to to essentially cut costs elsewhere. And then just lastly, on the way that those services are delivered, I think that it is very much the case that those facilities are becoming more offering a diverse set of facilities, of services, of opportunities for residents to gather, to use the internet, to use meeting rooms. And I remember one of your callers, that's actually why I think I wrote to you, it wasn't so much about the issue of Plumstead, it was about someone saying that, well, you know, these libraries are just these tired old stacks of dated books. That's not the case at all. Anyone who visits our libraries will know that they have meeting rooms, they have knitting and Scrabble and so on, as David has said. They have reading clubs, they have singing clubs, they have training facilities. They are really wonderful. They offer free internet to anyone who wants to go there. And I keep, please spread the message. There's great free Wi-Fi and computer terminals to do things like upload your CVs, work quietly, study, whatever. So there are these holistic community service centers, and we want more of them, not less of them. And that does mean that we have to look honestly at some parts of the city that may be over-serviced and say, how do we reduce costs there so that we can redirect those resources elsewhere?
Over-serviced or underused? So now I'm wondering if the word is not out there enough, right? That if all I think it is a room of, if the prevailing belief is that it's a room of dusty books, I mean, if we got people out there more, would that create a stronger case for keeping more open? Or is it all down to the ratio of, for example, I think we were in a conversation about sort of the a radius within which a certain number should exist. And is South Africa appropriate, given the transportation is largely public, expensive, or on foot? Mm. Are we using the appropriate ratios of our radius? I want to leave that thought with you quickly just to dash to traffic. Sure. And then we'll pick that up right after. Zane Johnson, 20 minutes past 8. If you're just joining us, that's the voice of Jordan Hilders that you just heard, our executive mayor, alongside Jody Alamaya, independent city strategist. We're talking about our community spaces in Cape Town. Wednesday panel with Jody Alamaya, who's an independent city strategist, and our executive mayor, Jordan Hill Lewis, of the city of Cape Town, if you were wondering. And we're talking about community spaces, a conversation that was prompted by the Mandela Day protest of the closure of Plumstead Library. Extended a little bit with a conversation with our MACO member regarding community spaces and libraries, and I'm really grateful to have expert insight from both of you today. Unfunded mandates, or that mandates that need to be rationalized, are, I think, probably all over the world and in many cities, increasingly at risk as resources wear thin and demands get higher and higher, particularly in times of inequality, high oil prices, food prices. I want to hand over back to you, Jody, on maybe if you have any reflections on what Jordan has just given us some insight on. How do you think rationalization should take place, and what strategy would you use to establish? I know I left you with a question before we went. Is the radius the appropriate method?
Yeah. So the radius comes from a guideline that was written in 2007. So it's quite old and outdated. And I don't think that every area of a particular square meterage in every city is the same. We have different densities of populations with very different needs in terms of socio-demographic needs, ability to transport themselves, all sorts of things. So I think it's quite an arbitrary measure. There's an example, for example, of Crossroads, called Crossroads Library, but it's now in the Philippi Village. And it's in the report to council as a potential closure because there's other libraries close to it. But it's actually one of my favorite city libraries. And it's, you know, it got moved from a facility in Crossroads that had lots of issues. It had safety and security issues and things like that. And it got moved to co-locate in the Philippi Village, which catalyzed a whole bunch of things because of the city policy to have libraries have internet access. It brought broadband into the Philippi Village, which then unlocked a whole bunch of other opportunities for co-working spaces and the whole vibrancy that then exists in that center. it might not be one of the most utilized spaces for a bunch of traditional library services, but because they are, there's after-school services and there's these conferencing facilities upstairs and there's these small businesses and things like this, it exists as a different, you know, it has a unique, different sort of feel to it. And so you look at that and you think, well, that's got a new value to society as a library that could not have been envisioned without taking that chance and taking that risk to go in with a developer, with the community, with a co-location of other services and value. And yes, there are two or three other libraries in close proximity, but we're talking about Nyanga, Philippi, Crossroads. It's a huge space. It's a high density space. It's going to grow in density. There's lots of housing projects planned for the area. Huge issues with crime. You cannot expect that people must walk long distances across areas that we know have huge issues with gangsterism and murder. So, you know, let's have a high density of libraries in that environment.
Fair enough. So Jordan agrees. You were nodding that.
I love that. I love that you love the Philippi Village Library because it is one of the coolest libraries in the city. And
you
I love
agree
it too.
That the radius is arbitrary.
Totally arbitrary. If we went on the radius, the place where I live in the city should have another library in that, and it already has a great library, and it would be mad to put another one there.
Okay.
So that's exactly it's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. I'd much rather put another one in Philippi or in Wallerstein where it's very underserved, or Delft or places like that where it's very underserved, rather than another one where I live. That's exactly the point.
Can the multiplier effect or this positive externality effect be used preemptively to decide on where to invest? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because as Jody says, you wouldn't have known until the library was there that this broadband sort of externality was going to come about and build business. But could that be a model that we could use in other neighborhoods?
It absolutely should be. But here's a fascinating point about the incentives that that council faces. And you'll stop me if I get too much into the weeds, but I think it's an important point. When they look at how to cut costs, the first thing they look at is all of the libraries with external leases because the rent is large. So, but there's no assessment done of what running a library in an ordinary neighborhood, you know, the old model where we own the whole thing, where we have to cut the lawn and maintain the building and provide the security guards. All of that is done for us when we just lease a building. So the simplistic way to look at it, and that's why those five were in the report, is just go to the ones where there's leases. That's the simplest costs to cut. I don't think that's the right way to look at it at all, because sometimes that can actually be cheaper in the long run for us to do it on the Philippi Village model.
Yeah,
fair enough. I want to give an opportunity for one of our listeners to give their thoughts here on a different model of libraries, mobile libraries. And in fact, let's do both of those voice notes, please, Obi.
Hi, it's Richard in Plumstead. I've heard that the mobile libraries have all been cancelled. Surely they were part of the effectiveness, or was that just too much maintenance? Is there a chance that it might come back again? But mobile, everything seems to be going mobile. Cheers.
I just wanted to say that I really appreciate the City of Cape Town's library services. I do buy books. I also have a Kindle, so I read off my Kindle, but I also go to the library because I find that one can read broadly, one can read widely. I take my children to the library as well because there's so much available for them, and I just think it's a good practice to be in the habit of getting a new book and finding something new to read. And I find that the City of Cape Town's library services are very up to date. I've also been down to the Fishhook Library for the Blown Away by Books Festival before. Really amazing. And I've also been there as an author, as a speaker, with the Friends of the Fishhook Library. They have a wonderful program where you can hear authors speak that I wasn't aware of until I was invited there. So I've been to the Pinelands Library because they had a book that I couldn't get at my local library. And I've also been able to use the digital library services on the Libby app. So I really think the City of Cape Town is doing an amazing job with in-person events, with up-to-date books, with up-to-date media and so forth. And I just want to say a huge thank you.
All right, so thanks to both those messages. I had no idea it was raining that much.
Okay. I also heard the windscreen wipers.
Exactly.
But I do just want to underscore one thing. The digital, I think not enough people know about this, Jody. I hope that you've used this personally and seen how well it works. The digital services, you can order a book from anywhere. You can search for a book that you want, even if it's not at your local library, get an inter-branch transfer to your local library and pick up the book where, you know, closest to where you are. It's a really great service.
Should we be, I mean, the book launches that are held all the time at various bookstores, should we be doing more of these in the public libraries?
That's a great idea, actually.
Right?
I'd love to do that.
Okay,
yeah.
Next time I'm invited to be a discussant, I'll move venues. Jody, your thoughts on, or either of you, actually, your thoughts on Richard's view on the pub, on the mobile libraries. Have they been cancelled, first of all, Jordan?
I think most of them were cancelled. I've only worked with one in personally, and that was in Phoenix, Joe Slovo in Milnerton, where I worked for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I've tried to get that up and running, and I believe it is now up and running again. I believe it's every Tuesday or every second Tuesday. I need to check that. And I know that there's one other that is up and running. I think those are the only two now. Are there any more that you're aware of?
No.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm not sure if they, in the current environment, are they absolutely safe? Or is it, is the idea to have the reliability of the space that I know is always there 5 days a week?
Yes.
Necessary, as opposed to the drive-by?
This does go to the point about libraries increasingly being used for other things other than books. Mm-hmm. So, you know, another one that we have to have a conversation about, it's heartbreaking because I love it, is the Kloof Street Library. But the book usage there is really, really low. And it makes sense in that community because everyone has Google, everyone has high-speed internet. So it's not a place that people are using frequently enough to go and sit and work or whatever the case is. So I suspect that book usage at those mobile libraries probably wasn't that high. And, you know, it's more important for us to have the space for people to go and use the Wi-Fi, to use the computer terminals, and to have meetings and all those other
Agreed.
Engagements.
Yeah, I think we're not talking enough about librarians. So we're talking a lot about the space, but mm-hmm. the city hires a lot of librarians, and librarians specialize. So you get generalist librarians who can do a range of functions, and then you get specialist librarians who specialize in archiving, research and learning. A lot of them focus on curriculum, so they know exactly what the curriculum is focused on, and they can offer support to the learners as they're coming out of school. They know what
right.
they've done in school that day and can help them with their homework in the afternoon. You get librarians who are specialists in early learning and reading, so they are sourcing books suitable for storytelling for the youngsters and do storytelling programming and things like that. So I think you also have to understand which library has which specialist librarian mm-hmm. and what type of programming and services that library can offer. Is it help with your CV, or is it the storytelling for the youngsters, or the support for the elderly folk? And did the mobile library have any specialist services, or was it just the book? And the same for these sort of older heritage libraries like Obbs Library and Kloof Street and Musenberg and Maitland. Which services are they offering? If we're going to protect them or close them, is it about the books, or is it about the service and the librarian? And where does that librarian with her or his specialization go to? Which community best needs that specialization?
That's going to need more time. I'm sorry. And I know that there are some commitments that need to be kept up with. I just want to give you quick feedback, some more from the listeners. Plumstead community, if engaged with, would be willing to be part of finding a solution. They have not been consulted with on this closure. An example, this community actively seeks donated books to sell at book sales to fund events at the library. Mr. Mayor, with due respect, you're just down the road. Merging centres is different for the elderly who cannot drive, or young children who cannot get around easily. Right? And then finally, Morning Refueler, love this interview and topic this morning. These holistic community centres are so needed in the Cape Flats, southern suburbs, new housing development like New Horizons that will benefit from these centres that will assist the community and their needs like computer use and assisting with drawing up a CV. Safe spaces for children and adults to come to when being abused, for extramural activities, for after-school weekends, school holidays, daycare for the elderly, short courses on emotional development, and health career expos. How are these communities going to redevelop themselves without having a place to go to within their community? Okay, so the call is loud. and echoed. I think echoed by both of you for the support here.
I'm just not sure I agree with the last message, though, because the point is that the facilities are in those communities.
Yes.
They are. We have 103 libraries around the city, covering every single community. It's just that the nuanced discussion we're trying to have is, are there some where, if you've got three libraries within 2.7 kilometers of one another, is there a rational case to look at those and say, come on, we want to extend these, we want better services, mm-hmm. we want more of the courses you've asked for in that message, but elsewhere,
so that
we can provide a more equitable service to everyone in the city.
Fabulous. I apologize, I'm leaving the last word to the executive mayor, all protocol observed. Thank you very much to Jordan Hill-Lewis, our executive mayor, as well as Jody Alamar, who's in...